And welcome to the show. This is show two of Don't Stream and Drive, and it's over to Sergeant TCS.
That'll
All
be
yours,
me.
Neil. All yours,
That'll
Neil.
be me. Good afternoon, everybody. Second broadcast of the day. Thanks again to Stephen and John for their support and helping getting this going. We are progressing along quite nicely at the moment. Just been discussing with the chaps. The Don't Stream and Drive hashtag in isolation is currently standing over the last 30 days, but most of which has occurred in the last sort of 2 or 3 days, is currently standing at 18.8 million impressions, which is spread over 2,700 tweets from over 1,100 different accounts. So doing really quite nicely. Thank you very much, which is great. The day itself, if we pin back to the day, just sort of fiddling with the stats here on this great piece of software from Sue Butcher. The day itself over the last few years has always been measured just as a day, and it was always in excess of 20 million, or I think last year might have been 19, but there or thereabouts, around about 20 million every day. We are currently at 10.2 million impressions for today alone, with the biggest spike being at 9 a.m. this morning. So hopeful that the message will continue to spread this afternoon and then into the evening as people come home, start sharing messages and retweeting in the evening, we'll get some more reach as well, and that will push us towards that sort of 20 million area that we normally end up sort of falling into. But as I said to you earlier, the run-up to the campaign day is just as important. And so as it stands, the run-up, which I'm using the last 30 days as the benchmark, that's currently standing at 18.8 million, which is just fantastic. Had some great support from lots of road safety organizations. Road Safety GB have put an article on their website and tweeted out a link to it. Brake Charity have done some great work. Leicestershire Police, North Ants Police, Northumbria Police, Bedfordshire Police, to name a few, are the forces that have all posted some content. It would be great to see the others, but obviously we're in a very different situation this year in the way that it's being managed, so it really boils down to whether or not they've scheduled something in. But so far, so good. Really pleased.
Well, to actually achieve that without thunderclap is totally amazing, because
quite a thing, isn't it? Yeah,
it is, because thunderclap, you drove people to thunderclap. They signed up once, and then the tweets went out and the Facebook posts went out, and it was all run on autopilot. And you, yeah, John, and I used to sit here at 12 p.m.
and just watch them fly
just
in.
Just watch the tweets flying out.
I'll just have a look on and see if I can find a screen grab from last year to see what Thunderclap actually said.
Okay. And Philip is saying, greetings from Greece. Shout out, please, to Roxy, Brax, and Tweety. We're all watching. And definitely a shout out. And a shout out to Kelly in Sarnia, Ontario, in Canada. Thank you for joining us. And Neil is checking up on things.
Just see if I can find a Thunderclap hashtag stats images. Oh, I could spend ages looking for it and not find it, and I'll find it the minute that we go offline. But yeah, the Thunderclap always provided a big punch of numbers, and as we said earlier on this morning, it just gave me that peace of mind that somebody could show their support, and then if they got distracted by, to coin a phrase, if they got distracted by other things or life just gets in the way, they didn't need to worry. They would still show their support because Thunderclap would send that tweet. But I'm sure we were somewhere in the region of sort of 10 million or so on Thunderclap last year. Again, because people like Joel Comm bring 900,000 people to that. So, and he is still to come. He promised me content. I've not seen it yet. I'll double check. I've not seen it yet, but
okay.
But that will bring an extra pile of reach as well.
Brilliant. Now, shout out to Joel Comlin and Brian Fanza as well. Will he be?
Yeah, Brian has said that he will support too. So let's have a look at Joel's account. See if there's anything gone out. Yeah, 852,000 followers he's got on his account. So
yeah.
His last tweet was 7 hours ago. So he's not up and about yet, I don't think.
Probably just waking up. I mean, we've got to start the show again because the East Coast of the States now, it's just after 9 o'clock. And the East Coast of Canada is still 9 o'clock. Kelly's saying in Ontario, Canada, as of January 2019, drivers who are caught talking on their phones, texting, dialing or emailing with a handheld device, such as a cell phone or other entertainment devices, will be fined up to $1,000 Canadian with a 3-day license suspension and 3 demerit points. Drivers with more than one distracted driving conviction will face a fine of up to $2,000, a 7-day license suspension and 6 points. And if you go further than that, while motorists who have been caught doing distracted driving more than 2 times will pay a fine of $3,000, which is roughly around about £2,000, and lose their license for 30 days. Think it's about that one.
Yeah, it's quite interesting, isn't it, how the legislation is so different in different areas of the world. As we said this morning, that there are some states in America that are only just now saying that saying that handheld phone use is to be banned. So there's, you know, there are some that are way behind, and then, you know, somewhere like California where hands-free use has been banned for years, and they can only do handheld. Handheld has been banned for years, and they can only use hands-free. But again, hands-free comes with its own issues as well. So.
It does. I mean, the point is that distracted driving is a problem around the world.
It definitely is. I've had more success with Don't Stream and Drive in America and Canada than we have in Europe and in Australasia. Mm-hmm. Trying to get the Australian police on board, trying to get the New Zealand police on board is really, really difficult. And getting a reply is almost impossible. I've tried both ways with some of the Australian police, where I've actually even sent them an email from my work email to sort of make it look more official and more trustworthy and more believable and not to be dismissed outright from the start. But even so, it's still very difficult to get them there. But in America, we've had some great support.
Brilliant. And we're joined by Gospel, and we've now got support from Colchester.
Good.
So, all good. Yeah. So we're reaching out around the UK and around the globe.
Yeah.
Can we just go back to the beginning? Because, as I say, it's a new audience. And
Can
we just go over what streaming and driving actually is? Because who is saying don't stream and drive? What does this actually constitute?
Yeah. Streaming and driving is, if we talk about streaming to start off with, live streaming, some people get very confused when I say don't stream and drive, because they think, well, I stream music all the time when I'm driving. And you think, well, yeah, so do I. I jump in my car nowadays, and the stereo in the car picks up my phone without me even doing anything. As soon as I move off, my phone goes into do not disturb mode, but it also identifies the last piece of music I was listening to and starts playing it through the speakers, unless I've got the radio on. There are different types of streaming, and some of them aren't going to distract you at all. But the streaming and driving campaign is all about people who use the functionality of the camera and the video on their phone, and they're, I'm starting Periscope. Have you seen that? Right? The use of the video capabilities of your phone. That was Kerry Schmidt in Ontario that was talking there on Periscope, who is an officer with the Ontario Highway Patrol or something like that. Anyway, but yeah, using the video capabilities on your phone and the video that you capture with the camera and broadcasting that footage straight onto the internet through platforms for people to watch and view, and showing people yourself while you're driving or showing the road ahead, or both if you're flipping the camera whilst you're driving along. That's what live streaming and driving is all about. It also covers scenarios like Snapchat, where it's not live immediately, it's recorded live and then posted to the Snapchat account. Something interesting I found about Snapchat this afternoon, because we were talking about that earlier on, that didn't used to happen. I don't know whether we're able to sort of show this. I shall try.
Hopefully full screen.
So if that's me on Snapchat, and I'm going to have to do this without looking, but apparently if you hold that button, it will record a snap for you while you're talking, which is fine. But if I just turn that around and cancel that, now then I have to swipe it left. So if I touch that button and swipe it left, it, it's not doing it. Hang on a minute. It was doing it before. There. It's now recording a piece of footage, and it will do the full circle, and then it will start another, and it will stash one of them to the side. See how it stashed it to the side? Now it's recording another one. So you can actually record footage now with your phone on Snapchat hands-free, so to speak. But what you do have to do is start that off and then swipe it. So you are touching and messing with the screen and the phone to, in order to do that. And a lot of people who are doing Snapchats whilst they're driving are actually holding their phone anyway. So they might not be actually be thumbs on with the record button. They might press that and swipe so they just keep recording, but they're actually holding their phone up and moving it around and doing all this sort of stuff anyway. So they're still in, you know, using their phone. And again, I think there's going to be a lot of stated cases around things like that, because if you're just recording footage, are you performing an interactive communication function in order for the mobile phone offense? And there's an argument that you're not. But I would argue, in some regards, if you think, I've got my phone in my hand, it's locked. If I unlock it with my face, which is how my iPhone works, and unlock it, I'm not doing anything with my phone, but pound to a penny, that is now performing some interactive communication function without any of my involvement at all. It's checking for emails, it's checking for notifications, it's checking for alerts, it's pinging stuff across the internet all the time. Am I performing an interactive communication function right now if I was driving and just doing nothing? Time will tell with all those sort of things, but that just goes some way to show how out of step with modern phones the legislation is.
John, you had a post earlier about actually watching TV whilst you were driving.
Some people have been doing that.
The kind of reverse streaming, isn't it?
Streaming in as opposed to streaming out. And, you know, this is where we said before, people who stream music, and I stream music, and they say, is that a problem? And you say, no, streaming music is fine. But streaming video to watch, that's something else entirely. There was a recent news article that I've shared where a driver in a truck has killed some people. And he was watching TV programs on his phone whilst he was driving. And there's a and much like the Thomas Croker case, he had a dash cam in the truck looking down the road, and he had a dash cam in the truck showing what he was doing. And then he had the gall to stand in court and say, no, I wasn't. And you're like, but the video shows that you were. He's bonkers. But he's gone to jail for quite, he got quite a hefty term. I think he got 9 or 10 years or something like that. So, yeah, but people are streaming television into their cars as well. Yeah. Which is, you know, another issue again. But that can also fall under a very old offence that's been there for a long time, which is about watching a television viewing apparatus within sight of the driver, which used to be, you imagine on the older coaches years back, where the TV was in the coach and you thought it was really posh and flash, but the TV was in the right at the very front of the coach, above but ahead of the driver, so the driver could actually look up and see the screen. Now all the screens in coaches are behind the driver, so the driver can't see them. But it used to be a problem that the driver could see the TV screen that was showing the film to the people who were on the bus. But there's another, you know, watching TV on your phone would fall within that as well.
I had occasion to catch the bus the other day because the train didn't arrive. I was amazed to see TVs splattered round a bus, an ordinary everyday bus.
It's astonishing, isn't it? And I would imagine most of it was adverts, was it, John?
To be honest with you, I'm not a TV watcher at home either, I didn't really pay any attention to it. I only went three stops to get the next railway station. So
it's an interesting one, isn't it? Because I mean, I was on BBC Radio Stoke yesterday in the morning, and the lady that I was talking to there said that she was talking about distractions. And she said that one of the callers had been on and said there are great big advertising hoardings now that the side of the road that, you know, that are all lit up and show moving images and stuff. And I agreed with her and said, is it the Oldbury Viaduct on the M5, that first section of the M5? And there's some huge advertising hoardings there that have moving images and are all illuminated, and you think, some people will ignore them and not pay them any attention whatsoever. But if the purpose of an advertising hoarding is to attract your attention and make you to read it. So why are we putting it right next to the motorway where people are doing 70 miles an hour?
That's the M5, and the M6 passes a place called Star City, which is like an entertainment village. Mm. And they're all along the side of the M6 there.
Yeah. And you have to think,
they tend to face the M6, but they're 20 yards away. But at night, it's like Blackpool illumination.
it's incredible, isn't it?
It is.
And you have to think, how does that come about, and how does that get approved? Because the sole purpose of an advert is look at me. So by definition, look at me means I'm not looking at the road, which is, you know, you say, the passengers are looking at it. I'm not looking at it, but.
Yeah,
we all know. We all know that it's a potential distraction, isn't it? So
it is. Now, people are commenting, and thank you for that. And the next comment comes from Gospel, and Gospel is saying, "I'll bring it up on screen and read it."
Okay,
just give me a second. My phone is set that once I get into my car and start the car, the phone doesn't do anything. I don't get calls, etc. If I stop and look at my phone to unlock it, it'll ask me if I'm still driving. Don't have that feature.
Yeah. Do not disturb functions. They're on a lot of phones now. The iPhone that I have does the same sort of thing. It blocks all my text messages, and it actually sends a message. If people text me, it sends them a message to say I'm driving and I'll contact you when I'm not. They're really useful. And in fairness, I think people like Gospel and people like me, and I'm sure you guys who use that functionality, are not the people we need to be worried about. The people we need to be worried about are the people who override all that in order to be able to continue to use their phone. And they're the people that are streaming.
I have mine on Do Not Disturb, but I still get a notification on my matching Huawei watch.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Huawei watch.
See, now that's another interesting twist in the way that technology has evolved over the years, that you can say, I'm not touching my phone, and performing an interactive communication function. But as I'm driving down the road, ping, there's an alert on my watch, on my iWatch, on my Apple Watch.
But you don't need to look at your watch, because if it's one pulse, you feel a pulse.
Yeah.
That's a phone call, two pulses is a message. And it doesn't tell you anything other than you've had them.
Yeah.
You can't look at them. Yeah. It's not like an Apple Watch where you can look at them.
Right, I'm with you. There with the Apple Watch, though, and the smartwatches that do more functionality, another sort of problem is almost created, isn't it? Because you're then looking at, you're not using your phone, but it's a connection to your phone, which is, again, all stuff. So
this is a fitness tracker, not a watch.
Yeah, I'm with you.
It's a byproduct because they match each other. Mm-hmm. And this feeds that.
Yeah, I'm with you.
We have greetings from Kelly. Sorry, greetings from David in Canada.
David. Hi, David.
And also greetings, because we are definitely global, and I'm trying to find the right comment. Greetings from Roz, who's checking in because she can, from a warm South Australia. It's 10:48 here on Tuesday.
Yeah, South Australia. Wow. Trying to get, as I said before, trying to get Australia and police involved in Don't Stream and Drive is really difficult. And when you consider in New South Wales, I forget the figures now, but there were some figures that came out towards the end of the year that pretty much showed that New South Wales, with a much significantly reduced population to the United Kingdom, had sort of like 2.5 times the amount of fatalities on the roads. Incredible number. And then they had the situation with the police officer who was on the road checks at the side of the road and was hit by a distracted driver using his phone, and he had his legs amputated. He's back at work. He's a proper hero. He's got back to work and he's doing police work, and I guess in an office or doing something policing orientated. But with all that going on, you think they'd be wanting to jump on board and get involved with something like that. But getting them on board is difficult.
There was another indication of the fact that Australians are odd, because she said 11:48 and it's 23 minutes past here, because they're the only place in the world that has half hour time zones.
Really?
That's true.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, Adelaide and that area is half hour, as John says. Back to Roz. Roz, can we ask you a question? Let's make this totally interactive. Do you know of a similar campaign to Don't Stream and Drive, which does take place in Australia? And if so, could you possibly find out who organises it? Thank you.
That would be useful.
And Roz is saying it's starting to change. It is illegal to use a mobile phone in a mobile vehicle, even at the traffic lights.
Yeah. And so it should be. I think it's one of those things is I think I know where we need to be, and that's no use of a phone by a driver at all, hands-free or handheld, whilst the vehicle's in motion. But I'm going to sneeze. Excuse me.
We don't want. sorry about that, Neil. You said you were going to sneeze, and it's old habits die hard from loving for Britain. Right. Okay. Now, if our Greek friends are still watching us, could you also tell us whether you have a similar event taking place in Greece? And Roz is replying now and saying, I haven't heard of a campaign around Don't Stream and Drive. So if there is one, it's low profile.
Yeah.
And all right. Or in South Australia. David is saying it's $1,000 fine in Canada. And David is in Sarnia, Ontario. Mm-hmm. Okay. And David spotted a misspelling earlier. If anybody spots a misspelling early in anything that we do today, it's probably down to me. I managed to get two I's in drive, which takes some doing. I can't blame the messenger bots for doing that. That was human error. So if you want to send us photographs, please do. But we are trying our best. Right, just a point. If you want to help today, then as you're watching now, when we've got your attention and we're live, I've just posted a tweet. And if you click the link in that tweet, you'll be taken off to the click to tweet page, and you can send out a tweet in support of Don't Stream and Drive. All you need to do is one, two clicks, and you've done it. Okay, and it's gone out on your Twitter account. And that's what it's all about today, is raising awareness and getting tweets out there. And that's one of the ways we're doing it. And if you're with us earlier, we had a bot helping out as well. So all things are going on today. And I'm going to, I'll post another tweet in a minute, but before I do, I want to go through, I just want to, if you could give a shout out again to the people, because it's, you're the controller. You actually control the day and bring it all together. But there are many people who are supporting you, and a shout out to your supporters would be.
Lots and lots of supporters for Don't Stream and Drive. I'm going to start with all the amazing members of the public and followers of me and followers of all my police individual account holders, my colleagues across the UK and across the world. I've made some great contacts around the world using social media, who get behind it and support it and give me the big thumbs up and do their best to support. In the UK in particular, we've got Sergeant Paul Cording and Sergeant Chris Harris, Chris from Norfolk and Paul from North Yorkshire, who've been great supporters over the year. Rob Stevens, PC Rob Stevens in Northants, always puts out lots and lots of messages. And it's always very satisfying to see people sort of taking ownership of their little part of the campaign that they can do and running with it. As I said this morning, Southwest D on Twitter, she's a cadet leader and she had the cadets out in Bristol at a supermarket a week or so ago talking to people about distracted driving, and had all the Don't Stream and Drive imagery out on their display, which was great. But then to follow that on, you know, we've got in big sort of social media individuals, as we talked about earlier. We've got Joel Com, Brian Fanzo in the States, Chris Strub, we've all supported it. But then we've got police forces around the UK that are supporting it today. You know, we've seen content from Northumbria, from Bedfordshire, from Leicestershire, from Northants, and so on. And then we've also got some amazing road safety organisations, Road Safety GB, Brake Charity, the AA, and hundreds of other companies that have got involved that are new to me with regard to the Don't Stream and Drive campaign. And then we've got fire and rescue services, ambulance services, police and crime commissioners' offices, and on it goes. And the other one that we should mention really is, that we mentioned earlier this morning as well, is Sue Butcher, who has provided the campaign with access to her software and hashtag tracking software that belongs to her business. She's given me one of their logins so I can get in and get all the stats on the hashtag in the campaign, which previously I've had to pay for out of my own pocket. So I'm very grateful to Sue for that.
Right, I'm just putting something up. If you have any questions, I know you can't see me, but you can hear me. If you have any questions about safe driving, then please ask. If you can ask any questions about road traffic, and Neil will answer them. Now, John, earlier you were mentioning something which unfortunately happens when people are seeking fame on social media.
Yes, this is a young man in Los Angeles who wants to be an actor. So he drives around streaming, and he was so intent on his streaming, went through a red light and got broadsided by a great big red truck. And Although you can't see the truck on his video, as in it's approaching, you can actually see it in his sunglasses as it's coming towards him. He did survive. But he was seeking fame by broadcasting on social media through Los Angeles. So, you know,
it's an interesting thing, isn't it? In that there's a certain mentality for some people on social media about wanting that moment of fame, that moment of being known, that celebrity moment. And so some people will push the envelope and push the boundaries further than they should do in order to try and attract that attention, which can be fatal. You know, there's no two ways about it.
But yeah, but he was trying to reach people in the acting world. And he nearly reached the mortuary instead.
Exactly. It's the strangest of things that people do, and they think, you know, that it's going to benefit them, and invariably that simple tweet that we've used yesterday and today about the fact that you wouldn't hold a nail and hit it with a hammer while looking over here, because you want to keep an eye on your fingers, and yet people will, you know, get behind a car, the wheel of a car, which is a killing machine, and then just take their eyes off the road. And you think, what drives you to think that in any way would ever be okay?
Madness, I think.
See, whilst we're talking, because we've had a lady on from South Australia, I'm now pinging my way through Snapchat looking for somebody in South Australia who's snapping and driving. I've not found anybody yet, but
There's been in the last couple of hours quite a bit of stuff posted from the Devon area.
We've had Devon, Somerset and Devon Fire and Rescue Service have put some stuff out. Phil Schedule, who's a PC down in Devon and Cornwall, has put a lot of stuff out, and that one of his tweets was picked up by the Devon Air Ambulance as well. There has been a bit of movement down there, and I think the Devon and Cornwall Police and Crime Commissioner has been involved as well. So
yeah, there's also My Red Thumb.
Yeah.
Which is there, all the different agencies working together in the Devon and Cornwall area.
Yeah. My Red Thumb Day is towards the end of the month. Date, I'm not sure. I'd stab a guess at the 28th, but I'm not entirely 100% on that. Let's see if I've put it in my calendar.
It's Thursday the 10th of May, 28th. Oh, no, that's last year. What are they doing? Okay, let's go to their thing and see if it says. No, it only lists last year's. It doesn't list this year's.
It is towards the end of the month. I know that. I've not put it in my diary, but it is in there because I promised that I'll get
April 2019.
Yeah. That's another great campaign about mobile phone use, and they get people to paint their thumbnail red. Just their thumbnail. So you've got ladies who've got normal nails or whatever color, and then one red thumb, and it's that difference that attracts people to say, why have you got a red thumb?
Yeah, it looks as though they're promoting a little thumb band that goes around your thumb.
Yeah, you can have a little thumb band. I've got one of the girls that works on the radio for us has got her own business at doing nails for the ladies. So she brings all the stuff in and does my nail, and so I have a red thumb on the day.
They've been promoting every second hour today.
Yeah, they've been doing a lot of work. They're great supporters, and then I reciprocate that for them with their day. In fact, last year I had my thumb done, but while it was still done, the following weekend after their red thumb day, I was running 5K in the village, in like a village race, and so they sent me a t-shirt, and I ran in the My Red Thumb t-shirt and talked to people about My Red Thumb and My Red Thumb, and so, you know, spread the message a bit further there as well. So yeah, they're great supporters of me, and I return that to them. It's a great campaign.
Right. In a side chat between Kelly and Roz, that's between Canada and Australia, Kelly brings up a point which starts off with, in the land of Oz, do truckers still use CB radios? And Roz says, pretty sure they do, not so much as of CB anymore. Because CB radio was a total distraction.
I suppose so, yeah. I mean, it was the same thing. If I can remember back that far of my CB radio days, you had a dial that clicked between the channels, so you didn't have to tune it manually, but you had to sort of click through channel 1, channel 2, channel 3, and so on. And then, yeah, you're having a conversation, and you're also holding a fist mic while you're talking, which brings in all sorts of arguments about the use of police radios and anybody else that uses radios whilst they're driving.
Well,
can of
worms, can of worms.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Right, and David in Ontario is saying he's hoping to do a similar event to this next year in his local area. He's got a meeting about it later today.
Oh, that's fantastic. Well, if there's anything I can help with or steer them towards, well, then I'd be more than happy to help. And I've got quite a few contacts over in Ontario in the Toronto Police, or Toronto, as we, you know, and also... the OPP, that's the word I'm looking for, the Ontario Provincial Police, the OPP, that's where Kerry Schmidt is from. But if there's anything to help with, I'd be more than happy to.
Kelly, our friend Kelly, is mentioning that he's seen that OPP guy, Kerry Schmidt, in their area.
Yeah, he's massively, massively active on Periscope. He does a heck of a lot of videos. We have a little bit of a checkered history, it has to be said, because there were occasions he always used a clip, the phone was always attached to his dashboard, but he did venture into the area of doing broadcasts on Periscope whilst he was driving, but without touching the phone or without reading any of the comments or anything. But I sort of tried to point out and say, I'm really not sure this is a good idea, and I'm not sure you're sending the right message. And can we really be talking about distracted driving and not using your phone while you're driving if you've got your phone on the dashboard and you're doing a live stream broadcast? And I didn't get much of a response, to be honest. And so it led to going into work one day. I walked into work and the inspector said, I need to have a word with you. Calls me over, shows me an email, and there is an email from the police in Ontario saying, we're not very happy about this, blah blah blah. And there's an article in one of the Toronto newspapers saying that a UK cop is calling out another cop in Ontario for streaming whilst driving and what have you. But when I pointed out all the messages I'd sent to them saying, do you really think this is a good idea? And can we talk about this? And that were ignored. Yeah. It was very quickly just put to bed. But since then, Kerry hasn't done anything. And despite all that, the rest of the stuff that he does is brilliant. He puts so much road safety information out and so much great content about what's happening on the roads in Ontario, and dealing with collisions and what they have to deal with and the fatalities and driving safely and what have you. Is a consummate professional with all that. I take my hat off to him. I mean, I think he's got a huge following on Periscope, I think. So.
And I always talk of CB radio has brought back memories for Roz. So there we are. Job done. Yeah. Now, if you were actually live on the Live Video Hub page, if you're not on the Live Video Hub page, then you'll see a link up above. If you click that link, you'll be able to come straight to where we are broadcasting. We're not ignoring you. We'll check every comment after the show, but we're live on 12 pages at the moment. And obviously, as we're actually talking live here, we can't track all 12. So if you're not on the Live Video Hub page, you'll see a link up above. Click that link. Come and join us. When you do comment, we can display your comments on screen.
Yeah, but yeah, Kerry is there on Periscope. He's got 2,600,000 hearts and just short of 29,000 Periscope followers. He's got a massive following, and he does some great work.
Brilliant. All right. Okay. Now, I've just got another, if you're watching live, and thank you, I'm just sending another tweet that you can actually share whilst we're live, and just click the link, and it's a link in the tweet, and you'll then be taken over to the Click to Tweet page, press tweet, and you've helped the campaign for raising awareness of Don't Stream and Drive, and every tweet counts, doesn't it?
Every tweet counts just by clicking the button. And that's all it does. It's about getting the message out there, in, you know, and I mean, as we said before, we're at 18 point something million impressions over the last 30 days now, which is great. But if it's just the one tweet that you send now by clicking on that link that somebody sees that makes them change their behavior and become a safer driver, the whole thing is a complete and utter success. Absolute success.
True. And we field tested the tweets yesterday, and I was amazed that, because you, Neil, put together the text and the picture, and we sent out the tweet with the image attached, and it got shared and shared and shared. So one tweet could get shared and shared and shared and reach an even wider audience. So it's not just about your followers, it's about people who actually share what you're doing.
Definitely. I've just had a look. We're at 19.2 million impressions now. So moving along nicely.
So by the 7 o'clock show tonight.
Who knows?
Who knows? Indeed.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Now, some technology that people may not be aware of, which is being trialed in the UK. We're talking about streaming and driving, and basically, at the moment, you've got to be seen to be streaming and driving, which is either somebody from the police sees you or somebody reports you. Is that true?
Pretty much. Yeah.
That's about to. Yeah, that's about to change, isn't it? With the testing of the new mobile alerts for police.
With the new.
Watching the traffic, and you can actually you'll be told whether people are actually using their mobile phone in the car.
Right. Okay. Yeah. There is technology out there now. I'm not aware of that technology being used in the UK yet, but I think it's certainly been used in Australia. I think perhaps New South Wales. If we're going back to Australia, I think perhaps in New South Wales again, where the cameras go on the overhead gantry and will pick up photographs of people who are using the phones whilst they're driving. And then that leads to, I assume, warning letters or prosecution letters and fines, whatever, however they work things over there. But yeah, that is a possibility. There's also things like what West Midlands Police are doing. West Midlands Police run an operation now called Operation Top Deck, where officers and PCSOs will go out on a double-decker bus and just sit upstairs on the bus in the traffic and capture footage of people using their phones in the cars in the traffic, and then either send the information on ahead to somebody ahead who stops them, or they just collate all that data and then write to the driver and or write to the registered keeper and say, what we would call a 172 notice. We send a notice out saying, you're the registered keeper of this car. Who was driving at the time of this offence?
They also have the front half of a cab off a trailer at West Midlands, because it's Staffordshire, West Midlands and West Mercia Motorway Patrol Group.
Yeah.
And they have a cab so as they can be at the correct level for the trucks.
Yeah. They may have their own now, I don't know, but there's certainly one tractor unit that goes around the country and is shared with forces around the country called Operation Tramline. TISPOL are involved with that, and that's purely for catching people in trucks, because they're level and they just come alongside in the truck and go.
They have a driver and then a guy with a video camera, and they see them in the mirrors. And then they pull up alongside, and then they video it.
Yeah, it's it's just about doing things in a different way, isn't it? The classic example that I have is the chap. When I started Don't Stream and Drive, and still now, people send links to me to footage saying, "Have you seen this?" And there's one piece of footage that somebody sent to me, and I looked at it and I thought, I can't let that go. But I thought, what if he deletes this footage before I can do anything with it? And how am I going to capture it? And so instead of going into my computer and trying to do a sort of screen save and catch it all, I did the only thing that I could do, which was that I played it on my iPhone, propped up against the sofa, and recorded it with my iPad. So I'd got it. He shared his face. He was very excited about the sports car that he was driving and very proud of it. So he was sharing photographs of that, which also included his registration plate. And so I got in touch with the Metropolitan Police and said, I've got all this evidence. I've got who this driver is. I don't think it's going to take you very long to find him. Will you take it on? Yes, we will. They put it in the hands of an enthusiastic cop who wanted to be a Rhodes policing officer. And off he went, and the chat was reported. He went to court and pleaded guilty straight away at court. So he was prosecuted on evidence that I'd captured at home on my day off, 200 miles away from where the offence was being committed, which is unheard of. When I joined the police in 1991, that was unheard of. So it's about doing things different ways. And that's a convoluted and time consuming process, and not something that I would advocate that the police have to do. But there are lots of innovative ways now about how people are catching people using the phones. And one of the things that's being said at the moment by a lot of police forces around the country, which is sort of, it's almost tipping a hat to the fact that they know that we've got an awful lot less resources available to do stuff these days. So they're saying, we can't be everywhere, but you don't know where we are. Because they're doing a lot of plainclothes stuff and stuff on top decks of buses and all that kind of stuff. So it's just sort of saying, you don't know where we are. And I would bolster that by saying that with the rise of the dash cam, and with the rise of passengers who are able to film whatever they like while somebody else is driving, well, then every car is potentially recording exactly what you're doing. And so that's going to change dramatically over the years.
A couple of friends of mine were coming back to Birmingham from Sheffield, and one of them is videoing, and talking, phone in front and talking to him. And I said, you shouldn't be streaming and driving. So he turned the phone around and said, I'm missing something, like a steering wheel. Yeah. And I blamed him. And he wasn't even driving.
It's one of those things as well, and sometimes it's confusing because if you go on something like Periscope and have the camera facing towards you, well, then everything is still the right way round. If you go on Snapchat, it looks like you're in a left-hand drive car, so you think, oh, it's the passenger, but you realize then that they've got one of their arms is up here. And they're doing this, and you think, you don't do that if you sat in the passenger seat. And you suddenly realize that the Snapchat reverses the image. So people in America look like they're in right-hand drive cars, and people in the UK look like they're in left-hand drive cars. So sometimes you've got to get your head around it and say, am I looking at a driver or am I looking at a passenger?
I didn't realize it was with somebody else. He just said, I'm coming back from stream and drive. I'm not.
Yeah. So I've got that in Ontario. The MTO extends limited exemption for hand LCBs and two ways until 2021. Yeah, that's as we said earlier, that the use of radios and CB and stuff falls outside of the mobile phone legislation in the UK because of the frequencies they operate on, because it was going to essentially put taxi drivers and all those other people that use radios off the road in one way or another. And I think it was probably a step too far for them. But you think now taxi drivers are using radios less and they're using mobile phones more, aren't they, with Uber and all the rest, which is creating another issue and another distraction where you've got a taxi driver who is driving around always having one eye on the phone for the next job coming in that they can accept and take and get to quickly enough to keep their ratings high enough to get more jobs offered to them. It's a scary world.
Which brings us neatly to our Uber story, John, which we trailed this morning, but people watching now won't have heard it.
Oh, this the man that got himself killed?
Unfortunately, yeah.
He was doing what we were talking about earlier. He was reverse streaming, and he was watching The Voice, and he was so distracted he didn't take over when the automated. He was driving an automated vehicle, and he didn't take over when the vehicle put it back in under his control.
Yeah, yeah.
So he ended up at the mortuary.
Right. We have a late surge of viewers. Thank you for joining us. You're watching Downstream and Drive Day, April 16th. This is show two. There will be a third show tonight, again on the Sergeant TCS page at 7 o'clock. But, Neil, could you give a recap of what's happened on the day so far?
We're doing very well so far. We've had an awful lot of tweets and messages that have gone out today by individuals, road safety organisations, police agencies in the UK. We're starting to pick up some stuff coming in from North America now. We've had lots of businesses and individual police officers around the UK and beyond pushing the message out there. Our social impression count at the moment, I shall refresh the screen, currently stands at, drum roll, 19.3 million impressions, potential impressions, and that's just for the Don't Stream and Drive hashtag. That's not counting distracted driving kills. Some people have been using DSAD19, and some people have been using Don't Stream and Drive Day as a hashtag as well. So there's a number of things going on there.
Yeah. Okay, just catching up. Corinda, and this is a good question to sort of get us towards the end of the show, because it's the $64 million question. Why, from Corinda, why do people stream and drive?
If I knew the answer to that question, I could probably tackle it in that direction. I don't know. Particularly when you see the footage that some people broadcast, which is just sort of like the view of their steering wheel or maybe their feet and then a quick glance out of the windscreen and back down again. You sort of think, well, I can't get my head around that. Because you think it's not even as though you're sharing something that is useful or interesting or of value, you're just sharing drivel, nonsense. But some people do like popularity and they like to know that their content is being seen by people. And it is very satisfying when you get lots of followers and you get lots of people interacting with you. And people like, and on social media, the attention that that popularity brings. And so I think everybody in some way or not is gratified when their content is popular, and then that becomes quite addictive really then. So you think, oh well, I had 20 people watching that last broadcast today, I'm going to do it again today, see if I can get another 20 or get more, maybe get 25 and then get 30. And they're looking for that moment of fame, that moment of popularity, that moment of I'm somebody special, I'm somebody important. But sometimes you have to look at the quality of the content that's being shared and think, I mean, I wouldn't advocate it if it was brilliant content. I'd still say that it was a problem and shouldn't be being done. But most of the time, it's just utter nonsense. And why people do it, I can't fathom. It goes beyond my logic, really.
Mine too. Well,
just a few people who've tweeted while we've been on the air. Don't stream and drive. We've got Ali Jackson, Sergeant 121 Ian Prince. Does that mean anything?
Yep. Ian's in Wales.
Think Road Safety, which is a government thing, isn't it? TW White and Sons. Yep. Essex County Football Association.
Oh, there you go.
Cornwall Fire and Rescue Community Safety Service. Kelly, me, Crest Derbyshire.
Big Road Safety Team. Brown,
Chris Strub.
Chris Strub.
Carol McDonald, a road safety campaigner. Some guy called David Burrows. Barnstable Chamber.
That name rings a bell.
Insure the Box. Drive Like a Girl. Ross Boundy. Somebody Richard, but he's still said it's the most important message today. Julie Barnes.
Yeah.
You know, Julie. Another one just coming. RSG Engineering.
There's a thing.
And the Brake Charity.
Brake Charity, of course, yeah. There are so many organisations and businesses that get involved, and it's really humbling sometimes to see that an organisation that you wouldn't expect or know or have any contact with, who pick it up and go, yeah, we agree with this, and they post their own content about it. More so when an organisation gets a grip of something and says, you know what, we're going to put a web page up about this and say this is what we're doing and why we support it, anything. That's just amazing, because it's not my campaign. It is, but it isn't, if you know what I mean. It's everybody's, and I don't hold tightly to it and say, you know, I mean, interestingly, whenever there's a media pack circulated about a campaign within the police, there's normally an embargo that says, don't do anything with this until this date. Nothing will be said, nothing will be mentioned until this date, and then you can start sharing content. My media pack went out about 2 months ago, and it said on that, it's the build-up to this day is just as important as the day itself. And so none of this content is embargoed. Just get it out there. If you want to share a message about distracted driving and don't stream drive, get it out there. And there's so many people get involved that I've had no contact with whatsoever. And you just go, that's amazing. It's just fantastic.
Yeah. Well, all those I mentioned were in the last 55 minutes. And I laughed a second ago because a friend of Stephen and mine, this is Spain, otherwise known as Steve Hall, has posted it in Spain. So,
yeah, I think we had an article in a Spanish newspaper that I think might have been through that gentleman.
Yeah, Steve.
There's a Spanish newspaper that that's in English, but down on the coast somewhere, and there was an article.
Steve's well known because he cycled to every football league and Premier League stadium in the UK.
I thought you were going to say fixture. Then I thought, blimey, that's a.
Cycled around everyone and collected a shirt at every place.
Wow!
It was sponsored. And the shirts were all stitched into one giant shirt.
Amazing.
And then when Robert got home, he put all of his property in storage, and someone burnt the storage down. He laughs about it now, but at the time it was quite sickening.
Quite disastrous, yeah.
Yeah, and we're very fortunate to actually spend a week with Steve on holiday, and he's a good bloke. Catching up with the comments. Comments coming to slowing a bit because we've come up to the hour. People will be going elsewhere. So, Neil, would you like to have speak? I'm running out of words. Oh, dear, Neil.
Again, thank you to you guys for helping me along. I couldn't sit here for an hour and just talk to myself and answer questions. So it's great to have your company and have you along. Don't Stream and Drive Day is exactly that. It's a day. It doesn't finish here. It continues into the evening. I normally pull the plug at sort of 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock, depending on how things are going and whether it's tailing off or whether it's still got some momentum. At which point I'm normally ready for a rather large glass of red wine and a flop in a chair. But yeah, it continues. The day goes on. Please share out the hashtag, post some messages, retweet those that you see. It's all about getting that hashtag out there so that more and more people can see it. And the more people that see it, the more potential we've got to change people's behavior, which in turn means the more likely we are to make our roads safer for everyone. So do get involved. And I'll be back live on Facebook at 7 o'clock tonight.
And we'll be with you. John, we've had to close the show.
Okay, it's always me that gets to close the show. I rip off the two Ronnies. So it's goodbye from me. It's goodbye from him. It's goodbye from him. But they may be down there. They may be over there. But one of them's north of me and one of them's south in reality. Bye-bye.
Bye, everybody.
Thank you, John. Take care. Bye. See you later.